Rubble and beggars. Everywhere I looked, that was what I saw. I remembered beggars in the old days too. Baba always carried an extra handful of Afghani bills in his pocket just for them. I had never seen him deny a peddler. Now, though, they squatted at every street corner, dressed in shredded burlap rags, mud-caked hands held out for a coin. And the beggars were mostly children now, thin and grim-faced, some no older than 5 or 6. They sat in the laps of their burqa-clad mothers alongside gutters at busy street corners and chanted for bakhshish, bakhshish. And something else, something I hadn't noticed right away. Hardly any of them sat with an adult male. The wars had made fathers a rare commodity in Afghanistan. We were driving westbound toward the Kartese district on what I remembered as a major thoroughfare in the 70s, Jade Maiwand. Just north of us was the bone-dry Kabul River. On the hills to the south stood the broken old city wall. Just east of it was the Bala Hisar Fort, the ancient citadel that the warlord Dostum had occupied in 1992, on the Shir Darwaza mountain range, the same mountains from which Gulbuddin's forces had showered Kabul with rockets between 1992 and 1996, inflicting much of the damage I was witnessing now. The Shir Darwaza mountain range stretched all the way west. It was from those mountains that I remembered the firing of the Topichasht, the noon cannon. It went off every day to announce noontime and also to signal the end of daylight fasting during the month of Ramadan. You would hear the roar of that cannon all through the city in those days. "I used to come here to Jade Maiwan when I was a kid," I mumbled. "There used to be shops here and hotels, neon lights and restaurants. I used to buy kites from an old man named Saifo who ran a little kite shop by the old police headquarters." "The police headquarters is still there," Farid said. "No shortage of police in this city. But you won't find kites or kite shops on Jade Maiwan or anywhere else in Kabul. Those days are over." Jade Maiwan had turned into a giant sandcastle. The buildings that had not entirely collapsed barely stood, with caved-in roofs and walls pierced with rocket shells. Entire blocks had been obliterated to rubble. I saw a bullet-pocked sign half buried at an angle in a heap of debris. It read, "Drink Coca-Cola." I saw children playing in the ruins of a windowless building amid jagged stumps of brick and stone. Bicycle riders and mule-drawn carts swerved around kids, stray dogs, and piles of debris. A haze of dust hovered over the city and, across the river, a single plume of smoke rose to the sky. "Where are the trees?" I said. "People cut them down for firewood in the winter," Farid said. "The Shorawi cut a lot of them down too." "Why?" I said. "Snipers used to hide in them," he said. A sadness came over me. Returning to Kabul was like running into an old forgotten friend and seeing that life had not been good to him, that he had become homeless and destitute. "My father built an orphanage in Shar-e-Kona, the old city south of here," I said. "I remember it," Farid said. "It was destroyed a few years ago." "Can you pull over?" I said. "I want to take a quick walk here."